Book of Matthew, if you take a moment and open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 20, we'll be reading verses 26 to 28. Matthew chapter 20, verses 26 to 28. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. As far as possible, let's kneel as we pray. Good morning, Father. We've come to your church today to worship you. You're the Creator. The Sabbath commemorates that. And as we look around us, we see the beauties of your creation, even in the sinful world that we live in. And we long for the day when you will come and take us to a new place, a beautiful place, a perfect place, and then bring us back to this world and make it new again. In the meantime, Lord, we have struggles. You know that. We have done things, thought things, and said things that we shouldn't, and we ask for your forgiveness, that you will change us, that you'll send your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and to make us more like Jesus. We pray for our speaker today, that as he speaks to us, we won't hear his voice, but we'll hear your voice speaking through him to our hearts. We pray for those that aren't here for various reasons, Lord. Some may be discouraged, some may be sick, some may be traveling. Lord, we pray for each one of them, that you'll keep them safe where they are. If they're in need of some physical, emotional, or physical need, Lord, we just pray that you'll give that to them. Touch them and heal them in mind and body and soul. We pray for the little family as they're mourning the loss of Janice, and we just pray a special blessing on them today. And now be with us as we spend some time worshiping you. In Jesus' name we pray, and your will be done. Amen.
Good morning, church. Morning. Happy Sabbath. Well, the reason you didn't get special music today is because you get four special music instead of just one. So, bear with me. Well, happy Sabbath. I'm really happy to be here with you to share about the Word of God. And the theme today And the topic we're talking about is service. And the title of the sermon is The Greatest Honor, Serving Like Jesus. We all like having some sort of distinction. We all like being known for something. Having a nickname or something that we're known for. So many people like to be recognized. And to be praised and to be, you know, esteemed and feel better and have authority over other people. And so today we're going to be looking at the Bible, specifically in Matthew chapter 20, on how Jesus teaches us a huge lesson on service and what service means for us as Christians. So as I was trying to learn about service and what Jesus was talking about, in Matthew chapter 20, and Matthew is all about the kingdom of God and how the kingdom of God is coming. But the main message of chapter 20 is service. And so I'm like, if I'm going to speak on it, I need to have a better understanding of the word service, because maybe I have a misconception of it. So I went on Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and I found at least 10 definitions for the word service, at least 10. And so as I was reading through them, I'm like, okay, so this word has so like several meanings, multiple meanings, and I guess it's organized in the dictionary in order of importance. It defines it as a system that supplies public needs like water, food, electricity to the public. It describes it as service in the military. It describes it as worship service or a communion service, as we celebrate communion service as Adventists. But to me, the most important definition of the word didn't come until maybe third, fourth, which is the action of helping or doing work for someone. And you may or may not agree with me that this is the more important definition of the word service. But we, as a church, as a body of believers that believe in Jesus Christ, that believe in the sacrifice and accept his calling to be Christians in the world, we have been called to serve. We have been called to go out there and serve people and serve others. And throughout the Bible and throughout the history, in the gospel, in the four gospels where it's narrated what Jesus did and what he asked his disciples to do, we can clearly see how he asked them to go and serve others. Christianity means service. And there are so many people out there that need to hear about Jesus. There are so many people out there that need to hear the message of salvation. There are so many people out there hungry for this message. What are we doing? How are we going to do this work that we've been called to do?
Every day they pass me by, I can see it in their eyes. Empty people filled with care, headed who knows where. On they go through private leaving fear to fear. Laughter hides their silent cries, only Jesus hears. People need the Lord, people need the Lord. Open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the We are called to take his light to a world where wrong seems right. What could be too great a cost for sharing life with one who's lost? Through his love, our hearts can feel all the grief they bear. they must hear the words of lies. Only we can share. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. At the end of broken dreams, He's the open door. People need the Lord. People need the Lord. When will we realize people need the
I want to invite you to open your Bibles on Matthew chapter 20. And it's not going to be on the screen. There's only going to be one verse in there. So let's read Matthew chapter 20 and see what the story is about.
It's actually several stories
in here. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. It says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and send them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. So he told them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right.' So they went. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing again and again. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others that were standing around, and he asked them, why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?' And they said, 'Because no one hired us.' So he said to them, 'You also go and work in my vineyard.' When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, 'Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going up to the first.' The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. 'These who were hired last worked only 1 hour,' they said, 'and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day.' But he answered one of them, 'I am not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am generous?' Verse 16 says, 'So the last will be first, and the first will be last.'" And Jesus is telling this story because he wants his disciples and the people who are listening to him to learn a lesson about humbleness, humility, and service. And he wanted them to understand that he was there to teach them about service, about how important it is to serve. The problem is that they were so worried about how much they were going to get. Where are we going to be placed? What's going to be my title? How important am I going to be in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus says, that's not important. What I want you to learn is that you need to serve you need to serve. And they were not getting the point. So Jesus, verse 17, which is the next verse, and it's up here. Jesus then go on and tells him about his death. And then we probably think, what does Jesus' death have to do with service? And what's the importance of Jesus telling them that he's going to die in this moment when he's trying to teach them about service? He says, Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, and on the way he took the 12 aside and said to them, we are going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be delivered over to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death and will hand him over to the Gentiles to be mocked and flogged and crucified. On the third day, he will be raised to life. And they were probably confused. So what does all of this have to do with service? Like, you're trying to teach us a lesson on service, but then you're also telling us that you're going to die? Like, what's going on? We don't understand. Well, people didn't receive Jesus as they were supposed to receive him. People didn't understand the gospel of the kingdom of God as it was coming to them, as Jesus was trying to explain it to them. I've been sent to you to establish the kingdom of God among you, and not just to be a king, to be a ruler over the people, to have a palace and to have places and people serving me. And probably that's what you are expecting right now. And probably when you're arguing among yourselves, trying to be the first and trying to be the and who's going to be last, because who does more and who does less, it doesn't matter. Because that's not the kind of kingdom I'm trying to establish in here. It's the kingdom of God. And the way the kingdom of God is going to be established is through the death of the Son of Man. And this is the third time. The Bible says this is the third time Jesus was trying to tell them that he was going to die. And they still wouldn't understand. That's exactly what happened since the very beginning. The people of Israel didn't understand the point that Jesus was coming to establish the kingdom of God. And they saw all these miracles happening when Jesus was on earth, and they still didn't understand that Jesus was the one who God sent to save them from their sin.
Same by the power of the name
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakana Adonai. We will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ is near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your word contained the plan, they just could not understand. You most awesome work was done in the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Elyon Adonai. Age to age you're still the same, by the power of the name. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kakana Adonai. I will praise you till I die, El Shaddai.
And so what happened after Jesus told them for the third time that he was going to die, that he was, that he had been sent to them to be offered as a sacrifice? Well, we can look at Matthew chapter 20 after verse 20. We find a very interesting story that comes playing here. So verse 20 says, then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. What is it you want? He asked. She said, grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom. You don't know what you're asking, Jesus said to them. Can you drink the cup I am going to drink? We can, they answered. Jesus said to them, you will indeed drink from my cup, but sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father. And verse 24 says, when the ten heard about this, they were indignant with the two brothers, because Jesus called them together and said, you know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. And then he says, not so with you. Like, it doesn't have to be this way with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so when we see these last two verses in this passage, verses 27 and 28, we understand that Jesus is telling them, you are asking me to take places in this kingdom that you think is going to come, but what I'm telling you is that doesn't matter. We'll all be equal in the kingdom of heaven, sons and daughters of God. So Jesus is trying to explain this to them, and they cannot understand. And the mother of the sons of Zebedee, she comes and says, like, I'm worried about my sons. So when you become a ruler, a king, where are they going to sit? I want them to your left and to your right. I want them to be distinct, and I want them to have this name and them for people to know them too. And Jesus is like, you know what? Let me tell you clearly. You want to be first, you have to be last. If you want to be served, you have to become a slave. And I'm not telling you this because I want to humiliate you, because I want you to be less than anybody else, but because that is what I've been sent to do. I've been sent to earth to die. I just told you for the third time I'm going to die. You still don't understand. You still don't see that that's coming. But I'm going to die. I'm going to serve and to give my life in service for humanity. and ransom for humanity, to rescue humanity. I am serving to the point that I am giving my life for you. And I'm afraid they still didn't understand what the message was. But we certainly can understand the message this morning. God has called us to serve. And he gave an example with his life, with his ministry, with everything he did. When we read the Bible, everything he did is an example of service and love for our neighbor. He has called us to go out there, to pray for people who need it, to give everything we can. And sometimes we're not even willing to answer a phone call from one of our brothers and sisters who's in need. But he has called us to serve because he gave it all. He didn't think about anything he had. He gave it all in service for us. And by him giving it all for us, we can think that his love is greater than anything else we can have. And through his love, we can serve other people. And through his love, we can have the power to become better Christians and better servants, and to look out for our neighbors and for our brothers and sisters in church and for our families, for our relatives, our sons and daughters and brothers. So many people are in our church, within our community, in need. I think we need to open our hearts one more time and think about the sacrifice of Jesus, who gave it all to save us, so we can give, if not all, at least a little bit for our neighbors, for our brothers, and serve them as well.
Above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid me high on a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Above all powers, above all keys, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of men, you were here before the war began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, laid behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me above all. Crucified, lay behind a stone, you live to die, rejected and alone like a rose, trampled on the ground. You took the fall and thought of me, above all.
So I wasn't going to put these on the sermon, but since we have time before the last one, that's the end of the message as it is in Matthew 20 on service. Jesus telling them and repeating them, I am going to give my life in service, and you need to stop arguing among you and between you on who's going to be first and who's going to be last. That's not up to you. We're all going to be equal. You're all going to be equal. And what is important right now is for you to serve. Verse 29 says, as Jesus and his disciples were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. Two blind men were sitting by the roadside, and when they heard that Jesus was going by, they shouted, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. The crowd rebuked them and told them to be quiet, but they shouted all the louder, Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus then stopped and called them. What do you want me to do for you? He asked. Jesus, Lord, they answered, we want our sight. Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes. Immediately, they received their sight and followed him. And the reason I decided to just read this little story about the two blind men, who's probably not related at all to the message he wanted to give his disciples, you know what? It's actually very related. Because that's exactly what he was trying to tell them. I am here to serve. I am here to heal the one who's sick. I am here to open the eyes of the blind. I am here to bring back to life those who died. I am here to free you from slavery of sin. And that right there was service in action, right after Jesus was telling them to stop arguing about who was going to be first. So Jesus is not just with his words, but with his testimony, his example, what he's doing, his actions. Please look, what I'm doing here is trying to rescue people. And not only to be a benefit for them, to serve them, as the most important definition of the word service is to help others, to do work to help others, to benefit others. That's exactly what he was trying to do. And that's what we see there. That Jesus is trying to tell them, service is giving all you have for others. And so my desire is that we accept the calling this morning, accept the calling of serving God, of serving Jesus, and to accept that he has called us to be a witness, to be a helping hand, to serve others. And I cannot let this opportunity by without shouting out Lanette, because Lanette, I admire Lanette. She probably doesn't know that. But I love her spirit of service. Lanette is always willing to serve. I noticed that on you, Lanette. And so I am so thankful to have you in this congregation, in our lives, and the way you are always willing to serve and look out for others. It really touches my heart. So thank you so much for your service to others. And that is what service means. And don't think I don't notice others in the congregation that serve too. I just wanted to mention someone as an example. We do serve. But God has called us to serve with all our hearts. We all do service in this church. And I want us to accept the call. And let's look at this closing thought from Ellen White. The Star of Ages, page 650, first paragraph says, again and again, Jesus tried to establish his principle, this principle, among his disciples. When James and John made their request for the preeminence, he had said, whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. Matthew 20, 26, what we just saw. In my kingdom, the principle of preference and supremacy has no place. Let me read that again. In my kingdom, the principle of preference and supremacy has no place. The only greatness is the greatness of humility. The only distinction is found in devotion to the service of others. Do you want to be distinguished in the kingdom of God? Do you want to have a name? Do you want to be recognized? Let it be the name of that one who served thousands and thousands when they were in need out there. That's the one who actually didn't go back to save his house that was being lost because he helped others save their house. That's what there's no greatness in serving ourselves or having others serve us if we don't serve others. If our purpose as Christians is not serve others, what are we doing here? Doesn't matter how much we come to church. Doesn't matter how much we tithe. Doesn't matter how much we believe that we are good Christians. If we are not working for the kingdom, if we are not serving as Jesus has asked us to serve. And let's not go into legalism, because it's not that we're doing to be saved, but that we are saved and Jesus asked us to serve him and serve others. Because we're saved. It's what Jesus is calling us to do. Do we want to be great? Let us serve. And the last one I want to sing this morning for the closing song is I Will Go, which is a beautiful song that always reminds me that I have to let go of my selfishness and myself all the time and let Jesus take over me and help me serve others.
Leave the comforts that I know.
I will go and let this journey be my home. I will go, Lord, where your glory is unknown. I will live for you alone. I will go because this life is not my own. I will go.
Father in heaven, we thank you for allowing us to serve in your kingdom. Thank you for Matthew chapter 20 that teaches us that it doesn't matter which place we obtain, we're all going to be equals in the kingdom of heaven. And the greatest honor, the greatest good that we can receive is to serve in your kingdom and to help others find you and find salvation through you. Thank you for allowing us to study the Bible. Thank you for calling us and letting us be your sons and daughters. Please help us if we haven't to this moment. Accept your calling to serve others, that we may do so, and that we do it from our heart, O Lord. May you give us desire and love to serve and to help others that are in need, and to look out for each other as Christians, and to look out for those who are suffering and hurting, O Lord. We want to place each and every one of us in your hands and ask you to guide us in this life and to help us be close to you through service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.